All right, let's turn, if you will, please, over to the book of Acts, chapter number 9 this evening. Acts, chapter number 9. Hope you've had a blessed day. It's been a good day of spiritual warfare and battles and of all types and kinds, and that just tells me that when you throw a rock and something yelps, you're hitting the target, amen? So, praise God. Let's stand tonight, reverence God's Word. Tell you what, we'll read in Acts chapter number 9 this evening. And I just want to read one small phrase. Down in verse number 6, it said, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Lord, I pray you bless the message tonight. Touch the heart of the people that have gathered. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Lord, it's worth coming just for the prayer meeting tonight. Lord, for your men calling on you and for folks seeking you. Lord, we felt your presence throughout the day as folk have communed and asked you to help. And I pray at the end of this day that you're blessed now. God, honor your word. Touch every heart. Do great and mighty things to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Preaching tonight on the subject, the principle of servanthood in the life of Paul. The principle of servanthood in the life of Paul. In verse number 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Now that word Lord, it means many things. It means supreme in authority. It means the controller. It means the master. And where you have a master, you have servants. And at the very beginning of Paul's long life of serving the Lord Jesus, it's this title that he'll never get over and that he'll always stay under and be glad to serve in subjection to his master and to his Lord. Later on in Acts 27:23, the apostle said to a shipload of soldiers and other men that had not listened to the Lord, but they'd listened to the master of that ship more than to the man of God. But he said, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve." He's always right. And Paul said, "I serve him. He's my master and he is my Lord." In the opening of many of the epistles and in the book of Romans, right after Acts, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." The scripture tells us that he cried out in his first spiritual breath after having understood who Jesus was, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And when he said Lord, he wasn't saying this in a vain, just lighthearted way. He knew just exactly what he was saying. Here's a man spoke 14 languages and he was a master of words, and he understood the definition of what he was saying completely. And when he said Lord, he was putting himself under as a servant before God, and he never ceased to be a servant till the day that he died, all the way through. And throughout the epistles of Paul, we see a great elaboration on the principle of servanthood, serving our blessed Savior. I want to say tonight that there's no greater privilege given among the heavens than to be able to serve our Lord, our Savior, and our King. I count it a great honor to be in the host of the servants of our blessed Lord. And tonight as we look at this, number one, we ask who we serve. Who we serve. Now he said, "Lord, what wilt thou?" Saul had served another master. He'd been in bondage to sin. He'd been in bondage to the devil. He'd been in bondage to his own self-will. And the Bible says in Luke 16:13 that no man can serve two masters. He'll hate one, love the other, or else he'll cleave to one. He'll reject the other. You cannot serve two masters. And Paul was no Laodicean. The master that he served, he gave everything to. When he was lost without God, He was serving the master of the devil in disguise. Satan was in disguise, but that was his master. He gave everything that he had. In zeal, he said, exceeding all of his equals. Whatever he found to do, he did it with all his might. Now he's going to get saved by the grace of God, and he's going to be of the same opinion, the same zeal, and the same full-heartedness in serving his master and the Lord. Now, I want to look at how servants come to be involved with masters and how people become servants. First of all, there is a birth by domain. A birth by domain. The Bible tells us in Genesis 14:14 that Abraham had trained servants born in his own house. When he had servants and those servants had children, then those children automatically became servants in the household of Abraham. And you read about those that have come into Israel by whatever or through whatever means, and then they had children. If they were servants, then their children would be born into that servanthood as well. Well, Adam fell into sin, and so did Eve. And all their children have been born into the servanthood of sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:17, ye were the servants of sin. And when you're a servant, I've got a young man right now that has to spend 30 hours community service because of riding in a car with the wrong bunch, and he was just sitting in his car, but they did something wrong, came back, jumped in his car, and he took off. He got caught up with that bunch, and so now the judge said, you can either go to jail or you can serve 30 hours of community service. Well, I've been getting to know this boy. And he said when he was 6 years old, he would go to work with his daddy every day. He was a migrant worker, and they traveled all over and did that. And he said, by the time I was 10 years old, I learned to work, and I could work like any other man. Well, what happened? He was born as a migrant worker and a servant, and he's grown up in all that. And these servants that grow up in Egypt, they learn the way of the taskmaster. They learn the way of turning bricks into mud, all of that. And they learn the ways and the lifestyle and the food and all of those things about a servant. Well, I grew up under the domain of sin and living as a servant in sin. And as a result, I learned the lifestyle and the way of sin, and I learned how to obey the master of iniquity and do exactly what he wanted me to do and fulfill the flesh and the desires and the lust thereof. And that's where sinners are at today. They're birthed into a domain by natural birth in the sinfulness. Secondly, they became servants by a battle that they were defeated in. Goliath summarized this. He said in 1 Samuel 17:9, if ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. So come on and fight me. And they often had this. And if you won the victory, guess what? To the victor goes the spoils. And to the victor goes the captives. And you see, I was involved in a defeat of a battle that didn't start out of my own making. But then I did some warring myself, and I wound up on the defeated end. And the Bible tells us by the edge of the sword, old Satan took captive those that are lost without God. And I wound up in the bondage of sin as a captive of the devil himself. You see, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:26 that they're taken of the devil, his snare, captive at his will. It talks about how we were in captivity to the devil, then captivity of divers lust. 2 Timothy 3:6, this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and divers lust. People think if I can just get out of the house and I can get involved with this, that, and the other, then I'll be free. I'll be out from under the domain of all that. But the Bible says when they get involved in their silly sins and in their ungodly diverse kinds of lust, then they become captives unto that. And then 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It said we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. And when a person is lost and they're committing sin, they're not operating under a free will. They're operating under the bonds of iniquity and under the shackles of the deception of ungodliness. People have this mind that whatever I want to do, I'm going to do it. But when you get tangled up in sin, that's not the way it works. There's the pressure, there's the power, there's the shackles, there's the chains of sin. And young people, the way to keep from becoming a drunk hooked on alcohol is don't take your first drink. To keep from being a harlot, don't kiss your first boy. To keep from being a thief, don't steal your first dime. Just don't get involved with that. Ask God to protect you, prevail you, and ask the Lord to be your master, because it will bring you into subjection and into captivity. Then not only did we lose to the devil and lose the divers lust, but we lost to the deception of this world. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Here Demas, he's operating with Luke, a physician. He's at the right hand of Paul. But when he comes on down to the end of the way, Paul writes a sad note, and he said, Demas has forsaken me. And here's the reason he forsook me. He loved this present evil world. He got deceived by the world. The world enticed him and drew him aside. And he thought, boy, this is going to be much better and more pleasant than serving Paul. After all, Paul's in and out of jail or always after his head. He has trouble, all of this, that, and the other, and I'll be much better off. But the sad part about it is, the end of that is damnation, destruction, and judgment, and no man has ever found satisfaction and fullness in this world. Solomon said it like this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that's the way the world is without God and without serving Him. And that word vanity, it's like soap bubbles. A little kid blows soap bubbles. And what they're interested in when they blow that bubble is watching it and see how long it lasts. And then when it blows up and lasts and there's nothing to it, they go do it all over again. And it's a repetitive cycle. Blow them, reach out to hold them, pow. Blow another one, reach out to hold it, pow. Blow another one, reach out, pow. And it never does last. Sin in the world and love of the world is not lasting. God said it's like building your house on the sand. The storm is coming. And if you don't get on a solid foundation, when the storm comes, it will be blown away and it will be washed away. And to work all your life and to get out here in the world and get all tangled up and then just have it totally annihilated and washed away and taken away from you like sinking sand, what a sad, sad thing that is. And the Lord said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if your heart is in the world and you love the world, John said the evidence is that you're not loving Him. Because those that are saved are to set their affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The world is enticing and it draws, but God's children have their vision. And it said about Abraham, if he had been mindful of that country from whence he came, he may have had opportunity to return. But now he said, I seek another country, that is an heavenly, and God is not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. See, my friend, sin is not something that you can be involved in without a payday. So you can become a servant and do become a servant because of a loss in a battle. And we lost the battle. Mankind lost the battle in Adam, and then we fell right in the same pit. But then number three, because of the burden of debt, many became servants. The Bible says in Matthew 18:30, And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Here's a man requiring a debt that was owed, and the fellow said, I can't. He said, all right. Then he put him in prison. Verse 34 talks about how the goodman came and threw that guy in prison, delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And it was a policy, if you paid a debt and you would not or you could not, you were placed often in slavery. You remember in 2 Kings 4:1, a certain woman cried out unto the prophet Elisha and said, Thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Now the creditor is come, and he's going to take my two sons to be bondsmen. I can't pay my debt. And he's come to collect by getting my boys and making servants out of them. Oh, Elisha, I need some help. And she cried out for deliverance. And because she was in debt, they wound up being involved in servitude and servants. Sin is not free. I've been witnessing to Michael, that young fella I've been talking to you about. And as we were sitting there the other day in a briar patch, and we'd been, oh my. I looked at him and I said, you know, Michael, if you're going to follow the world and the devil, you better have a lot of money, because sin ain't free. Everything you get in the world, they want you to pay for it. Amen. No pay, no play. And you better be a rich man, because sin is not free, and it's going to cost you more than one way, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You're going to be bound into your sin, and you're going to become the servant of it, and there's no way of getting around it. So there is the dominion of how men get into service to the world, the flesh, and the devil. But glory to God. Something happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus. Who art thou? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, well, I've been on the wrong side all this time. Now, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Can I get on your side? Would you have me, Lord? Would you let me into your family? I'm wrong. I've done wrong. I repent. I turn from that. I want to do like old Joshua. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Lord, I don't want him no more. I want you. Amen. Boy, what a blessed hour. What a blessed hour. I think as men got in bondage by their birth into a domain, when I got born again, I got into another domain. Now I'm serving the Lord, the Master, and I'm a child of the King, because I'm serving the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And don't you know those men were happy that they were born in Abraham's family and that Abraham trained them and they became servants to Abraham. And when the battle over Lot and his need came, he raised those home-born servants up, gave them their weapons, and they went forth conquering and to conquer. And as I studying this today, I said, thank God for Calvary Baptist Church. There's some homeborn servants around here that have been raised here, got saved here, been trained here, been armed here, and we're going to war, we're going to battle. We've got lots, and we've got others we know that are in bondage and captivity. They're in trouble, and when you want to have victory, you get those homeborn servants that have been born into Abraham's family and say, boys, let's rise up and go forth to the glory of God. Amen. You can't fight a battle if you don't have some help. David had his mighty men. He didn't do what he did by himself. God raised his mighty men up. These were servants of David. We find, my friend, the Bible tells us that we've been born into his family. Then not only that, by burdens of debt. I had a burden of debt. But glory to God, the Bible says in Jeremiah 31:11, the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. I have been ransomed. Amen. As a result, Isaiah 35:10 said, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You know, they cut the head of that journalist off, ISIS did, and the world mourned because of that. A few days later, another terrorist group released an American journalist that had been taken captive, and he came home. And I read the story about him, and he said as he got on the plane and was flying in, said he had complete strangers come up to him and hug his neck and say, "We were pulling for you. We were praying for you. We were thinking about you." And he said, "I didn't know there were that many people concerned about me." And then he said, "I didn't realize how big an operation this was and everything going on behind the scenes to win my release and to win my freedom." And he said, "I'm ever thankful for the United States and for those that delivered me and for my family that waited patiently till I got deliverance." Woo! Glory to God. Boy, I thought about when I got saved by the grace of God. It was light that broke on my heart. I didn't realize how many people were praying for me. What all God was doing in the big program that He'd put together to bring and funnel it down that I might hear the Word of God, that I might be delivered, and that I might be ransomed by the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. And really, the pressure on my heart is I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I want to glorify God in my body and in my soul, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. And now that I've been bought and I realize how precious and the price was that was paid, makes me very grateful to be a citizen of another country and to labor under King Jesus as my Lord, my Master, and my Savior. Woo! Then I like this third one. Human race got into trouble because they lost the battle. They were defeated there in the Garden of Eden, and the effects of that have been rolling down through the years. But I'll tell you, there was another battle that took place. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. The Bible said in Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." With both hands nailed to the cross, with His body shredded till He looked like a piece of hamburger meat, His soul quivering on the cross of Calvary, at the end of the way He cried with a warrior's triumphant voice, "It is finished!" Bowed His head, gave up the ghost. The psalm said He led captivity captive. Ephesians said He gave gifts unto man. And our Lord triumphed gloriously in the cross of Calvary. And it's because He came, He won the battle, that now I'm His servant. I belong to Him. He took me as one of the captives of the grace of God from out of the snares and the powers of Satan. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. No wonder old Paul said, "I'm glad to be a servant of His." Just like old David said, "Well, they say the odds are against me, but He's come to me with the sword and the spear. I'm coming to Him in the name of the Lord of hosts." And when old David wound that stone up and put it right between the devil's head and bruised his head, amen, chopped it off and held that ugly mug up, you know what happened? When David won, Israel poured down the mountainsides and they proceeded from victory unto victory because David had won over Goliath. And because Jesus hath defeated the devil, Jesus hath destroyed the works of the devil, thank God we enter into the victory that our Lord and our Savior has bought for us. And now we say, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Glory be to God. Woo! I'm happy in Jesus tonight. Amen. But then there's a fourth way that you can become a servant too. That is the bond servant. I like this story. Exodus 21. Now these are the judgments that thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master had given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door and under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Here's a man, the master says, your time's up, you're free. Go set yourself, do what you want to do. But master, if I do what I want to do, then I want to serve you. If I do what I want to do, I want to live right here. If I do what I want to do, I'll be out there in the fields at the break of day. And I'll serve till the sun goes down. If I do what I want to do, can I just hang around you? He says, all right, go to the door. And when he went to the door, he humbled himself at the door, and Jesus is the door. And they marked his ear, and when they marked his ear, he came out. I can see a stranger come through the land, and he's watching all these servants, and he's just observing throughout the day. And at the end of the day, he says to the master, Master, who's that fellow over there? I noticed him. He was in the field before anybody else. He stayed there after everybody else. He's working harder than all of them put together. Have you beat him? Have you brought him into subjection? Has he got a threat on him? Why is he working so hard? Is he scared of you? Ha! You just don't know, fella. If you'll examine him and look a little bit closer, he's got a mark on him. And that mark says the reason he's serving, the reason he's loving, the reason he's working harder than everybody else is he don't have to. He's a free man, but he says, I want to. Woo! Glory to God. I am eternally saved by the power of God, sealed till the day of redemption, justified, my name's in the book, I belong to Him. I am eternally safe and sound in the Son of God. And people accuse us and say, well, if I believed all that, then I'd just go do what I wanted to do. And my answer to them is, I am. I am. I'm doing what I want to do. I want to serve Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. Glory to God. I ain't up here in Kingston, Tennessee. You're not sitting on them pews because you're afraid somebody's going to lash you with a whip. You're here because Paul said this, the love of Christ constraineth me. And every time he got down, every time he felt like quitting, every time he felt like backing up, he'd go back down to the Damascus Road and remember the light that shined round about him and God opening his eyes and washing away his sins and the mercies of the Lord falling upon him. And he said, how can I go anywhere but where he wants me to go? And how can I do anything but what he wants me to do? Oh, what marvelous love that has not let me go. Woo! Glory be to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Hallelujah. Who we serve? Jesus Christ, the Master. Why we serve, John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I thought about this. I want to be a sidekick. Amen. Moses had his Joshua. Paul had his Timothy. Matt Dillon had his Festus. Woo! And I hope Jesus has his Randy. Amen. Yeah, wherever he is. Hey, that's where I'm going to be. I want to tag along. I just want to be there. Wherever he goes, that's where I want to be. Yeah, he just his sidekick, they say. I'm glad to be a sidekick. Amen. And friend, we serve him with fervor and zeal because we want to. Why I serve him is because I love him so. I like this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus we judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And if he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why? The love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. And that grace has worked in us and made a new creature out of us. Amen. Last, some ways that we serve him. Man, we could go into dozens of those just going through the epistles of Paul. Romans 1:9, he said, God, 9:1, God's my witness whom I serve in the Spirit, in the gospel. We serve him in the Spirit. We serve him, Romans 7:6, in the newness of the Spirit. Galatians 5:13, we serve him by love. In Colossians 3:24, with an expectation that we'll receive our inheritance and reward of him. We serve him through repentance. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, you turn to God to from idols to serve the true and the living God. We serve him with a pure conscience. I thank God, he said in 2 Timothy 1:3, that I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience. We serve with a determination to please God alone. Galatians 1:10, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And when we serve God, our total allegiance is to him. And if the master is happy, then I'm happy. Let the other servants judge me. I don't care what they say. I want to make sure that I'm pleasing to my Heavenly Father. Oh my. It wasn't such a thing as migrant workers when I was a boy. All us school kids is the migrant workers. We got out of school, went to the bean fields. The day we quit picking beans, the next day we went back to school. I made my money that I bought my clothes for the following school year. I didn't leave coats laying around. I didn't scuff up shoes. I didn't throw shirts down. Somebody wrestled me and put me in the mud. I got more fights over them knuckleheads getting my clothes dirty or tearing something. I bust their head, buddy. I worked hard in that bean field for that. And I learned a lot of character there. I was picking beans by Grover Ward one day, and he's the boss man. He decided he'd pick with us. And we had a bunch of old mouthy gals that worked with us and others. And at the end of the day, he called out how many bushels of beans had been picked. And this girl picked 8, another 10, another 12, another 11, and this and that. And I picked 22 bushels of beans that day. And when he called my number and I gave him my tickets, they said, "Ain't no way. Ain't no way. You cheated. You lied." And I remember the boss man saying, "Shut up." I stood right by him and I watched him pick every bushel. He worked hard today. Leave him alone. Boy, I went out of there like a banty rooster on a fence pole. Amen. My master had took up for me. He had commended me. The rest of them was criticizing me. He said, "Whoa, whoa, you're wrong." Hallelujah. It don't matter what the other servants are saying. "Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're going to run that church down there running them old long meetings like that. You're going to kill them people." Yeah. I hope we all die to ourselves and live unto God. Amen. It don't matter what Dr. Doodle Nigger says or Dr. Sounding Brass or Mr. Tingling Cymbal or the High Tower and Steeple or the New Age community. It don't matter what they say. I don't care. Woo! We serve making ourselves of no reputation. Philippians 2:7, he made himself of no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant. Servant don't run around and say, I'm waiting on my doctorate. He's just glad to be a servant. You serve fervently. Colossians 4:12. We serve without strife. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. We serve faithfully. Hebrews 3:5. Moses was a servant, faithful in all of his house. We serve acceptably. Romans 14:18. Serve humbly in Acts 20:19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We serve instantly. Acts 26:7. They served God instantly, day and night. That means to be on your guard and ready for anything at any moment. We serve God diligently. We serve God willingly in Ephesians 6:7. We serve Him eternally. Revelation 22:3. The Bible said, and His servants shall serve Him. It's not the end of it. Hallelujah. We're going to get to serve Him over there. Now, if you don't like to serve God here, why do you want to go to heaven? But if you enjoy serving Him, I believe that's going to be what makes heaven heaven. Glory to God. What are we going to do? I have no idea what all we're going to do over there, but we're going to serve Him eternally. Let me give you this. The first mention of servant is attached to sin in Genesis 9:25, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren as cause of his sin. But the last mention of servant, after the Lord gets through doing His work, is over in Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, great and marvelous are thy works. The first mention of serve is attached to sin. Genesis 15:13, Abram, know of a surety their seed shall be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and they shall serve in affliction for 400 years. The last mention of serves, Revelation 22:3, and there'll be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. After God gets done, the service changes. Amen. And I like this about serving the master. They believed the master of the ship and they got in bad trouble. But Paul said, I serve the angel of the Lord, and He's always right. And you can mark it down, He's always right. And if you serve Him and you go with Him, you'll be ahead of the game. When I was a little boy, I had a grandmother, her name was Ophelia Bain. Her and Joseph, and he owned that 90-acre place that my daddy and my aunt inherited. I got a little spot on the backside in a rock cliff on the backside of the mountains where I got my house at right now. But my dad, every Sunday evening, we'd go down to my grandma's, and we'd go to the river, and we'd break some branches off of a birch tree, and daddy would cut the ends of them, and grandma would have her toothbrushes for the week. And she died at 96 years old, still had her natural teeth. And she brushed with those birch toothbrushes. So there's some of you folk that like the herbal stuff. That's a good toothbrush. But we'd do that, and then Daddy'd say, all right, I want you and Vicky, that's my sister, to sing. We'd say, Grandma, what you want us to sing? She said, well, sing Do Lord, we'd sing that. And then she said, would you please sing I Was Born to Serve the Lord? And I remember as a little boy singing, from the dust of the earth my God created man. His breath made man a living soul, and God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and that's the reason why I love Him so. My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's Word. My feet were made to walk in His footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. I was made in His likeness, created in His image, for I was born to serve the Lord. I cannot deny Him. I'll always walk beside Him, for I was born to serve the Lord. And I can see big tears rolling down them blind, out of those blind eyes on those big Ballard cheeks, dripping on my granny's dress there, and hearing her go, woo, woo, glory.
I thought, oh no, Granny's hurt and we've hurt her, and it just tore me up. It scared me to death. But I didn't know she was seeing more of them blind eyes than I was. I'm glad, thank God, I was born to serve the Lord. Amen. You was born to serve the Lord. You're going to be miserable serving yourself, miserable serving the world, miserable serving the devil. You were created, I was created in His image to serve Him. And that's where you're going to be happy and fulfilled. The Lord Jesus said this in John after He gave those fellas the lesson about foot washing. And He said, I've given you an example that as I your master am, so you be servants. And He said, happy are ye if you do these things. You'll find joy if you quit trying to serve everything else, and you'll serve Him with all your heart. Let's stand all over the house. Piano players coming, please. You're here tonight and you've never been saved by God's grace. You don't have to continue on serving the old master. There's victory in Jesus. There's redemption in Him. And if you are saved, Romans 6 says, you don't yield yourself as instruments of sin, but yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto Him. I beseech you to yield your heart to Him. And if He spoke to you tonight, whatever it is, won't you come get in this altar and ask the Lord to help you? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folk are coming to pray. You want to slip out and come. You slip out right now, will you? God's pressing your heart. I urge you. Beseech Him. Ask Him to find out, Lord, what wilt Thou? Lord, Master, my overseer, the King, the supreme authority in my life, is He that tonight? Come and ask Him the open-ended question. What do you want? What do you want? And seek Him till you find out what the Master has to say to you. Happy are ye if you do these things, if you serve Him. The devil tell you be happy if you get out here in this world. You don't meet happy sinners. You meet joyous children of God. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his refuge. Hallelujah. Young man, young lady, mom, dad, sell out to Him and say, Lord, I want to serve You with all my heart. Not because Preacher Randy wants me to or Brother Jeff wants me to. Lord, I just want to be that bond. I want to back my ear up to the door. Lord, I just want to serve You because I love You. I want to do what You want me to do, Lord, and give me grace to do it. I want to bring a reflection of glory back unto You for all that You've done. God spoke to you now. You want to come? Come on. Hallelujah. Born to serve the Lord.